Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website in this very busy Christmas season, so that we won't be distracted by the busyness of the season, that we really get down to the business of celebrating Christmas as Christians with the right attitude, with the right priorities in our life. That's what we want to help you to do today. So I'm titling this Sunday morning sermon, Christmas 2023, A Celebration of Reconciliation. A Celebration of Reconciliation. I'm going to make a statement before we go to the scripture. For the Christian, knowing the purpose of the cradle and the power of the cross is a cause for continuous celebration, a celebration that will outlast time and continue throughout all eternity. The mission Jesus accomplished was to reconcile us to God. This is the whole point of the cradle and the whole purpose of the cross. Our sins separated us from God, and Christ's sacrificial death brought us back to God, fulfilling the scripture that says, "The just has suffered for the unjust that he might bring us to God." Yes, we escape hell, and yes, we gain heaven. But the reason we escape hell and the reason we gain heaven is because of the reconciling work of Jesus on the cross in our behalf. I want to read a scripture that helps us to get a hold of this great truth this Christmas season. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." This occurred when Jesus was hanging on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, hanging on a cross of wood. The scripture said that if I be lifted up from the earth, speaking of the cross, I will draw all men unto me. Praise God. Amen. This word reconcile or reconciliation means to end the conflict, to make friendly again. And the result of reconciliation is peace. The message of the first angels that to the shepherds in the fields is very clear on the first Christmas is now carried by those of us who have come to know Jesus as our personal Savior. Let's look at that message and see if you and I are carrying that message forward into 2024. Luke 2, 8 through 11. On the subject, once again, a celebration of reconciliation. That's what Christmas for the Christian is all about. Luke 2, 8 through 11, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This is good news, good tidings. That's exactly what the gospel means and what the gospel is. It's the good news that God wants to be reconciled unto fallen man. He wants to, and he did find a way. He willed to do it, and he found a way to do it by sending his Son into our fallen world. And in the second person of the Godhead, God himself came, because Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," one in purpose, one in essence, one God manifest in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. But in him, Jesus, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. To wit, God was in Christ on the cross. Now you see, this is the mystery and this is the majesty of Christmas. Who am I that the God who created the universe and who created me would come to this earth in Christ, and in Christ, sacrificial, substitutionary death on the cross, that He would be able to forgive me of my sins when I repent of my sin and receive Christ as my Savior? I am reconciled unto God. Hallelujah. The conflict is over. Amen. We are actually friends. We have a right relationship with God. Amen. So the angel said unto them, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." Peace, good will toward men. God takes the peace initiative. He seeks reconciliation with those who have sinned against Him, blasphemed His name. Amen. And yet, for God so loved the world in this sinful, rebellious, disobedient condition, listen, that He gave His only begotten Son to lay in a manger? No, that's where His journey to the cross began. I'm not dissing the manger. I'm not discounting or discrediting the manger and its importance to the whole gospel story. But I'm telling you today, the baby in the manger, very God and very man, God incarnate, God in flesh, could save no one by virtue of coming to our planet, laying in a manger, helpless in a manger, helpless and dependent on a mother, a teenage girl, and a dad who was a blue-collar worker. Listen, He had to grow to maturity and go to the cross and stay on the cross until our sin debt was paid in full, so God could be just and still a justifier of them who put their trust in Jesus. Oh, friend of mine, Christmas is all about a celebration of our reconciliation. For the Christian, knowing the purpose of the cradle and the cross, I'm going to say it again, is a continuous reason to celebrate every day of the year. Just like Thanksgiving, and in all things give thanks. This is the will of God. It doesn't just occur on a holiday. Even if we make it a holy day and just thank God on Thanksgiving, we thank God when Thanksgiving is over, and we keep thanking God. Hallelujah. Throughout the entire year, we show gratitude for the unspeakable gift that caused us to receive the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God, the Scriptures teach, for the unspeakable gift. Here I am once again trying to describe the indescribable gift that God gave us when He sent Jesus into this world to lay helpless in a cradle and to hang helpless seemingly on the cross. I want to make it very clear. It seemed He was helpless. But when they came to take Him, He didn't have to go through the beating and the scourging and the impaling upon the cross and the 6 hours of agony, slowly, surely dying a tortured death on the cross, when every part of His being was crying out for deliverance from it. And yet, the love of God saved us from our sure destruction because he stayed on it, held there by love for us. Not nails, not Roman soldiers. When they came to take him, the temple priest, he went for the head as Peter did. He pulled his sword to defend Jesus and went for his head and just sliced his ear off. And Jesus told Peter to put up your sword. If my kingdom were of this world, I could call and actually the way it not just connotates, but the way it tabulates what is written there, this legion of angels, these legions of angels, it would be between 60 and 70,000 angels at his command, at his disposal. He went to the cross out of obedience to the Father. He went to the cross out of love for you and I. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. To what? Lay in a manger? No. To stay in a manger? No. But to go to the cross and pay our penalty, suffer our judgment on the cross, so that we could be saved, in effect, reconciled unto God. That's what salvation has brought for you and for me if we are Christians. And we should celebrate this reconciling work of Jesus in our behalf. Praise God. Our sins separated us from God, but Christ's sacrificial death has bought us back and brought us back. He redeemed us. Praise God. Amen. God takes the peace initiative. He seeks reconciliation. He sends a Savior so we can be forgiven and thereby reconciled to Himself. To wit, God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. This is the great message of Christmas. And this is the great proclamation of the gospel. Hallelujah. That we, you and I, can have and have achieved peace with God. Not because we're sinlessly perfect. Certainly, we're not sinful if we've become saved. But we're not sinlessly perfect. No one could be. If anyone could achieve that, Jesus didn't need to go to the cross. We could redeem ourselves through sinless perfection, but no one could do that. The Bible is very clear. There is none righteous, none that doeth good, and therefore none righteous. And it's reiterated, no, not one. And the most religious people of Christ's day, the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisee, the highest order of priest and religionist. He said, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen, friend, because we've been reconciled to God and because Jesus came to offer us this reconciled work, then the result of it, sinners can be saved. No matter how sinful anyone is, there's hope in Christ today. For where sin doth abound, the Scripture says, His grace doth much more abound. The law came through Moses, but grace and peace came through Jesus Christ. Sinners can be saved. If anyone repents of their sin and receives Jesus as their Savior, we will be reconciled to God. Our sins will be pardoned. The separated from God can be reclaimed. That's what redemption is all about. We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. It's talking about paying a ransom price to get someone set free. Oh, friend, we were not ransomed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the lost, sought after, and restored. If you're lost today, you know what when we intercede for people who don't know Jesus as their Savior, I know the Holy Spirit is going to work a work. He's going to go after them. I call him lovingly and with deep respect, the Hound of Heaven. God begins to hound them. They can go to the bar and start drinking up, shooting up, toking up, whatever they do. But they will not get away from that one who is seeking them. Seeking them. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's his mission. He fulfilled the means of salvation on the cross. He came in the cradle at Bethlehem. And now he is still seeking to save. And God is still working and the Holy Spirit is drawing. Praise God. It's an uncomfortable feeling to have the Hound of Heaven hounding you day and night because somebody is praying. If you got a praying mama, she's interceding for you. And you can be sitting in that club and you can be thinking all these wicked thoughts. But you're also going to have another thought, I need to get right with God. This world is going to pass away. I am passing away, and I'm going to answer to God one day, and I'm not ready. I'm not ready to stand before God, give an account for my life. Oh, friend, the peace that comes when we are reconciled to God, we have peace with God, and that allows us to enjoy the peace of God in our life. There's nothing like it in all of the world. This is God's will and purpose. Peace on earth. This is the good news. The angels brought it to the shepherds. And now we have been granted the ministry and the word of reconciliation, the Bible said. We can go out in our world and tell people about the love of God and tell people that they can be forgiven and tell people that they can be saved and tell people they can be delivered, they can be set free if they will turn from their sin and turn to God and come to Christ, confessing our sin, repenting of it, and be receive Him as our Savior and be reconciled unto God. This is the good news of the gospel. Praise God. Amen. Listen, He's not only was God in Christ doing that work so we could be reconciled on the cross. Listen, He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation so that we could go, just like the shepherds went out with joy to share this message. And it's the joy that we have in being reconciled and the peace that we have when we have the peace of God reigning in our minds and in our hearts. It's going to set us apart from a world who can't find buy peace at any price. It's not for sale for any price in the marketplace of the universe, but it is given freely to those who are reconciled unto God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sinners can and will be saved. The separated from God, reclaimed, ransomed, redeemed. The lost sought after and restored. I love what it says about Jesus as the good shepherd. As the good shepherd. It said the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the good shepherd leaves the 99. When it says he leaves them, it doesn't abandon them. He leaves them safe within an area where no predator can get to them. And if one is missing, he searches till he finds it. He doesn't search until he's tired. He's worn. He's fatigued. He's fed up with that rebellious hard-headed sheep. Good enough for you. Let a wolf find you out there. Let a lion find you. Fall off a precipice and break your legs and wait for a predator or die from the shock. If they haven't been shorn their wool, even when they went to drink water, the water would wick into the wool, and if they pitched forward because of the weight of it, they would drown. Sheep cannot manage on their own. They are dependent wholly upon a good shepherd. And even a sheep can fall down. And they call them a cast sheep. They stumble and fall, and in the heaviness of the wool, they can't get back up. They're like a turtle on its back. And if a predator doesn't get them soon, the weight of their own body is going to cause pressure on their heart. Eventually they will die if a shepherd doesn't come and put them back on their feet. And if they can't stand up because they're too weak, he will take the sheep, not a lamb, but a grown mature sheep, and throw it over his shoulders and carry it back to the safety of the sheepfold. And the Bible said he will search until he finds it. God may be searching for you today. You may have grown up in a Christian home and you know what true Christmas is all about. You may be at an office Christmas party this season. You may be drinking with friends. You may be doing other things that we don't need to go into. You know, and I know, and God knows, and God is seeking you. You're the sheep he's concerned about. We who have come to Christ as our Lord and Savior have been sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. God has marked us as belonging to him. We don't have to fear the wrath to come. We don't have to fear the great white throne judgment, because our names are written in the book of life. And our citizenship, our conversation, our citizenship right now is in heaven. Heaven, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, has my name upon the rolls of that city. I'm not there yet. The New Jerusalem is coming down. John saw the holy city coming down to the earth, because Christ is coming back to the earth to rule and to reign, a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. Friend of mine, I'm telling you, I'm glad to be a Christian this Christmas season. This is my 50th year as a pastor evangelist of celebrating Christmas with the saints of God and ministering the Word of God to whoever will listen. God is seeking reconciliation with every fallen person, which we all were and we all are until we come to Christ. There's none righteous, no, not one, for none doeth good according to God's standard. God could have left us in our helplessness and hopelessness, but he didn't. He sent his only begotten Son, and through him, and because I and my Father are one, God was in Jesus Christ on the cross. This is the mystery. This is the majesty. That God who we offended, God who we sinned against, God who we disobeyed and rebelled against, God loved us enough to seek us and to make a way when he found us, amen, to be saved, to be forgiven, to be reconciled. He didn't do it by looking over our sin. He did it by judging my sin and yours in his own Son. Friend of mine, this is the glory of Christmas for the child of God. Don't get distracted by all of the other stuff. We celebrate being reconciled unto God, because that baby in a manger was the beginning of that journey to the cross. As he grew, matured, and at 33 years old allowed himself to be beaten almost to death and then nailed to a cross of wood and stayed on it in suffering and agony. Not only the agony of the pain of the nails and the beating and the bloodletting and the nearly losing his ability to breathe on that cross when he would pull up to get a breath. The pain in his feet and in his wrist would be excruciating, and he'd take a breath to keep from suffocating, and then he would let himself sink down again and again and again and again. Was he a victim? Yes. But he was not a victim in the sense that he had to do it and they made him do it. He became a lamb sacrificed. He became a substitute sacrifice. He stayed on the cross because what held him there was not nails, not the soldiers at the bottom, not all of Rome's governmental power. What held him to that cross, my friend, was love for you and love for me. Nothing less than that kept him on the cross until he cried, "It is finished. It is accomplished." One word in the Greek, and if it was used in the sense of finances, it would be when you stamp a mortgage that someone has paid off, made the last payment and paid it off in full, paid in full. In fact, archaeologists have found a sealed urn, a sealed vase made of clay and sealed airtight. And when they opened it to discover what was inside, they saw that there was a piece of parchment inside, and it had one word across this debt that was owed and the amount. And it was tetelestai, and I'm probably saying it wrong, but it is one word in the Aramaic and in the Greek, and it means paid in full. My sin debt was paid in full at the cross, and it all began as he lay helpless in a cradle in Jerusalem, and he hung helpless seemingly on the cross for 6 hours, until he could cry in his last breath, "Paid in full," our sin debt, so we could be reconciled unto God. The lost, sought after, hallelujah, and restored. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it. It's because we were condemned that he came as a Savior. They went into cities and were wholesale rejected, and no one received Christ as their Savior. And the disciples, in their frustration and their anger, said, "Why don't you just call fire down out of heaven and destroy them that rejected you and rejected us?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of. I did not come here. My mission to this planet was not to bring judgment. One day he will. Make no mistake about it. In the book of Revelation, he's coming back as judge because he's been rejected as Savior. He's coming back to judge the wicked and judge the world. But he, right now, he came to seek and to save. And that's what he told the disciples. "I did not come to condemn the world, but to seek and to save the lost." That's what he's here for. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad he came to seek me so he could save me, because I sure wasn't seeking him. And I dare say if you're not a Christian, you were not seeking him either. But if you begin to think about seeking God, coming to Christ, it's because he first loved you, because he sent his Son, and because the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. Because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And all because Jesus took our place on the cross. He suffered our punishment to reconcile us to God. One writer commented on Isaiah 53:5, where it said, "He's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities." the chastisement of our peace was on Him, or the chastisement that brought peace was on Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Praise God. Listen, one writer commented on that and said it was our sins that did that to Him, that ripped and tore and crushed Him. Our sins. One of the great, powerful, true stories to illustrate the gospel of Jesus Christ comes from missionaries who were threatened to have to leave their missionary work because of two warring tribes if they did not quit killing one another. Don and Carol Richardson, many, many years ago, it was a serious threat to them. They liked Carol's medical care and Don's steel implements. He taught them to use them. Plus, the presence of the white family gave this particular tribe status. The chief of Don's tribe realized he had to pay the price for peace. One day, Don watched the warriors of the warring tribes from a line opposite each other. The chief of his tribe took his newborn son from the arms of his wife. She sank to the ground, he said, wailing. In uncontrollable grief, she knew what was coming. The chief walked down the line of his warriors. Each of them put their hands on the little firstborn child. With determination and resolve, the chief walked across the open space between two warring tribes. He stood face to face with the enemy chief, placed his son in his enemy's arms. With the baby in his arms, the enemy chief walked down the line of his warriors in full view of the father and the father's tribe. Each enemy warrior placed his hands on the baby boy. Next, the warriors turned and disappeared in the bush with the infant. The baby was gone, never to be returned to its grieving parents. The Richardsons wondered what that ceremony meant. One day the chief said to them, "I offered my son as a peace child for our tribes. As long as my son lives, there will be peace between our tribes." You see, this baby offered brought reconciliation. If he dies, war will resume. Anyone who kills a peace child will himself be killed. Don shared how God, our Heavenly Father, sent Jesus to this earth with both tribes as His peace child, and they got it. They grasped it. They understood it to make peace between God and man. Isaiah 9:6 says it, doesn't it? "For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Oh, hallelujah. A child is born and a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of all these titles, this one stands out, and most people embrace it because it's the greatest need of our life. Prince of Peace. Just as the warriors put their hands on the chief's little son as a sign that they accepted this little boy as their peace child, so by faith, we receive Jesus into our lives to show that we are at peace with God. The difference in the stories is that God's peace child lives forever and forever. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Praise God. And the message of Christmas is so powerful and wonderful when we grasp it. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. Listen, friend of mine, today as we approach the Christmas Day 2023, let's celebrate our reconciliation and remember that to us has been given the word of reconciliation to go out and share our testimony and share the truth about Jesus and why He came, what He accomplished. Hallelujah. Working with the Holy Spirit, the Lord of the harvest, to bring souls into the kingdom of God. God is seeking someone in this listening audience today. God is seeking you. I don't know what you're seeking, what brought you here to our website for this Sunday morning sermon. I know who brought you. I don't know what brought you, but I know who brought you. I don't know what God used to get you here and to get you to stay tuned to this point. But I know that He came to seek and to save. And He stayed on the cross so He could be reconciled to sinners like you and me. Come to Christ today so that this Christmas can be the greatest celebration of reconciliation. The greatest Christmas you've ever known, because you will receive the unspeakable gift, and inside you will find the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, and Christian, be sure and share the good news, not just through this season, but all this coming year. Share the good news. To us has been given this word of reconciliation to spread it and share it and proclaim it, praise God, with everyone that we can and anyone who will listen. Tell them about the love of God. Tell them about the peace child, Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross, why He came, what He did, and what He's willing to do for anyone who will receive Him as their Lord and Savior. Today, if you don't know Jesus, come to Him. Run to Him. The wrath of God is upon us. Until we do that, there's no way to escape it. His justifiable anger. He's holy. He can't be less holy in order to forgive us. But He found a way. A way in a manger. A way on the cross to reconcile us to Himself. Don't let that great sacrifice and this kind of love be wasted. Don't miss this opportunity to come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Repent of your sin and receive Him as your Savior and be reconciled unto God in Jesus' name.